Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand, Melania, you're permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist, fake woke, an imposter, only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C, that's my
Happy New You, family.
Happy New Year.
Oh, my God. I don't feel like it's been, like, a month already. That is crazy.
Been a while.
I know. Time flies when you're having fun.
There we go.
Oh, man. I can't believe it's New Year. It's been, like, a month already. It's crazy. There's a lot that happened. I feel like it's a lot that happened, but it's also been kind of quiet. I don't know. I feel like a lot has been going on. I do know that I would, as soon as we get this kicked off, I do want to ask you, Daddy, you know, because we're all hearing about what's going on. But I'm going to ask after. Everybody, most of our holidays we spent together, but how is everybody's holiday so we can let the family know?
Amazing.
We were together for most of the holidays.
2020 is going to be better than 2019.
Oh, sounds good to me. It was a pretty good holiday. Not too much going on. We had fun.
Yeah.
We had good times.
Mm-hmm.
But we did come into the new year with some issues, with what seems like issues from the crybaby. So this is what I was going to ask you, Daddy. I know everybody is talking about it. Everybody making jokes about it, which I hate. I hate the jokes about the war and the memes and stuff because it's literally family members that may not come back for something that could be avoided. So I wanted to ask you what's your, because I know that you keep up with the news and you know what's going on. I don't really understand what's going on. So I really like to hear from you, your point of view about what's going on.
Well, I have an absolute. Well, you know, my thing is because I have been in the military, spent
mm-hmm.
formative years in the military, and also during the Vietnam War conflict, I was never in the theater of war, but when war is.
Hello?
No phones though.
We lost him. He'll be back. Oh, he dropped off for a second. He'll be back.
All right.
Oh, he's back. All right, he's back. Hold on. So
yeah.
Him.
Yeah,
so,
I'm back. I probably hit a note.
We lost you, and then we found you. All right. So go ahead. Hello.
Did we lose
him
again?
Hold on. Oh, we did. Oh, man. Oh, he's back.
Hey, it's something else. I guess somebody
apparently.
Yes, something
right,
else.
Right. Somebody doesn't want you to explain what's going on with this war, but we still want to know. So.
Well.
Continue.
Well, you know, my thing has always been just. Growing when I grew up and doing what I did, what happens to families during war? And what I notice is that most people who do not have their children in war are the ones that want to go to war the most.
Right.
Many of them who have the kind of money, and according to reports that I've heard, it appears that even the current occupant of of the White House was not in the military.
Right.
And so the idea of smelling.
Not only was he not in the military, he dodged the draft, I think, 3 times. So that's important to point out as well.
Exactly. And so, you know, my thing is, you know, if you haven't smelled gunpowder, if you haven't gone out on different types of field exercises, if you haven't walked the earth realizing that there's someone out there that wants to take you out, your decisions during times of conflict aren't the same. To smell gunpowder, to watch your best friend, the guy that you hung out with, when you had a little bit of free time, you'd go into town and hang out with your buddy. Even those here at home who have children or fathers or uncles whose life is on the line. Conflict, war, whatever you want to call it. But what also becomes important is for us to realize that this Western civilization doesn't know how to function outside of war.
That's sad.
Anything that they have ever done has been war. You know, when you look at ancient societies, even when you look at Iran, ancient Persia, you see a civilization that marks its life through technological advancement. The cultural center, you know, that's why everyone's talking now about, you know, don't bomb any of the cultural centers. Because, you know, Iran, Persia, of course, originally was Africa. But then with the movement of the Indo-European from the north after the Ice Age melted, coming back down south, coming in contact with these great cultures and civilizations based in African thought and philosophy. But I want to talk about what's going on now because that's the real question. This is what happens when you don't understand culture or if you don't even care about culture. When you hear them talk about the general, they call him the general, Soleimani,
the one that was
assassinated, Iraq. The thing about the United States is that you have separatists. And in other words, everything is separated. So on one level, you have government that has presidents, and you have vice presidents and senators and congressmen. On another level in the United States, you have the military, the generals, the soldiers, and others. On another level, you have the spiritual leaders. You have your ministers, your imams, your rabbis. But there are certain cultures where individuals are all of them combined.
Oh.
Soleimani was a general. That is true. He was a general. But he was also equivalent to what the vice president is here in the United States.
Wow.
And he was also equivalent to a minister or a rabbi or an imam. So in that culture, Soleimani was looked upon as a military person, a political person, and a spiritual leader.
Wow.
So that when they took him out, okay, you'll hear people say, oh, man, like they thought he was very oppressive. He was a bad guy. He even killed his own people. Okay, that's true. There are other people that will say he was highly regarded as almost like a vice president to the Ayatollah Khomeini. But what the United States did was you have three factions. Let's look at it politically, military, and spiritual. There were people who respected him as a political leader, but couldn't stand him as a military or a spiritual leader. There were others that respected him as a military leader, but couldn't stand him as a political or a spiritual leader. There were others that respected him as a spiritual leader, but had no regard for him as a political or a military leader. But in his assassination, what the United States did is that they united all three factions together, and that's what got everybody mad, because everybody had a problem with him in one way or another, but they also had a tremendous regard for him in the area that they found him to be beneficial. Mm. I hope I'm making sense to what's going on, because what the United States didn't understand is because they are so, like, they just think that everything about them is all that matters in the world. They are arrogantly ignorant and ignorantly arrogant. They didn't bother to study the culture of Iran. And by the way, Iran is not like Iraq or Afghanistan. Iran is a well-run country. It has its problems, but it has a tremendous military. A tremendous military. It has a tremendous culture.
Well, that's not good. That's good for them. It's not good for us.
Well, the thing is that, do you think that the generals that have been in Iraq and Iran doing what they're doing, don't you think they're looked upon as terrorists? You know, to the British, George Washington was a terrorist.
Hmm.
It's all according to whose perspective you're looking at things from, who is a terrorist. To the Iranian people, America's terrorists are Iranian heroes.
Right, right.
The same way the enemies in Iran of the United States are heroes. So that to say you're taking out a bad guy, you're talking about taking out a bad guy because he was at war with the United States. But that's also true
perception.
On the other side. Exactly. And your perception as to what's going on. Now, I am at the point now where I don't know what the stupidest thing has been done so far over the past 3 years. Because everything that I see happen outdoes the thing that happened just before.
It's amazing.
It's already on the radio that they already bombed American soldiers in Iran. They've already done that. And they did not use rockets. They used missiles. And the difference between rockets and missiles is when they use missiles, they're telling you, I want all of you dead. Rockets will take out some. Missiles take out everybody. Iran is sending a message. And not just that, but he has angered so many European countries.
Yeah.
He's working with Iran, he ain't got no friends now.
Jeez.
So that what's about to happen as we move forward is I am saying to people, you know, look, time for us to get ourselves together, period. It's time now, because these folk done gone mad. The inmates have taken over the insane asylum.
Mm.
It's time for us to get ourselves together, family, for us to study hard, for us to begin to look at solar power as part of the future studies for our children, to begin to spend our monies that would most benefit us and our community. It is time now for us to look inward and get ourselves together, because this now is coming to a point where we have to stop. We have to stop the violence on each other. We have to stop gossiping about each other. We have to start getting ourselves together. It's period like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at the world that we're living in right now and you can't see that, then there's a deeper issue that you have. And may I recommend that you go to the super social worker, the counselor, Honda K. Smith. And when you want to find out about money, go to the supreme money maker, the monetizer herself, Savvy Sasha. And if you want to be told about yourself, then go to that young brother, Caress, who doesn't hesitate to tell you what's up.
That's right.
So that's how I feel. Time to get together, family.
Cut
out all this nonsense.
Do you think it had anything to do with him getting impeached?
Oh, yeah. That had something to do with it, too. I mean, they already showed him four times over the years when Barack Obama was president, saying that in order for him to be reelected, they've already shown you saying that. See, psychologically, he's into projection. He projects on others what he's thinking. So when he back there in 2011 and early 2012, when Barack Obama was running for a second time, when he was saying, watch, he's going to start war with Iran just to get reelected, to take the attention off of the problems that he has.
He was thinking about what he would have done.
And he did it. He did it.
That's
he
crazy.
Started war. But the thing is that this may return to bite him because he is so incompetent to the task. He is so incompetent to leadership. He has gone bankrupt. He's not a good businessman. In 10 years, he lost $1 billion. He has failed at everything he's ever done. The only thing that he has that he is really good at is his hustle. He's got a powerful hustle. And he has brought down the Republican Party to their knees. The Democrats could not have done more damage to the Republican Party than what Donald Trump has done. If the Democrats ever wanted to destroy the
but he said if he was ever going to run for president that he would run as a Republican. He said that himself.
Yeah, because he said they're so stupid.
Yeah, he's literally, like, everything he has said, it has happened.
Yeah, and everything he said he was going to do, he did. So nobody should be sitting around being surprised. He has been a total failure at everything in his life. That's why his daddy sent him to military high school, trying to get him together. Not too long ago, his sister, who is a lawyer, a judge, she's a judge. She had to step down because he got the family in trouble because of taxation problems. She had to leave what she was doing.
That's wild.
This is who we're dealing. But you know something? This is all part of it, though. This just didn't start now. Trump is a result of many years of problems. Remember, when your mother and I first met, that was when the Iranian crisis occurred back in 1980 when Jimmy Carter was the president and they were messing around. See, nobody talks about, what actually happened. People have forgotten the story about the Shah of Iran. People have forgotten
how the United States
got involved with the election in Iran in 1953, the year that I was born. They got involved and did to the Iranian election what we're accusing Russia of doing in our election.
Wow.
See, when you know history, when you study history, and you can see how events lead to other events, I can take you back to the year I was born to show you when problems started between the country of Iran and the United States. And then came the Shah of Iran. Say what?
None of it is real. So none of it is real.
No. None of it is real. You're looking at it.
People are dying. People are dying because regular people are told a story, and it's people are literally trying to fight for the country, literally saying that war equals patriotism, and they don't even know the real reason why it's happening in the first place.
That's right, because they don't know history, and the history they know is interpreted from another perspective that you really need to think about before you come to conclusions if you're going to be open and honest and decide that you are going to come forward with a very cogent response. There are people that don't like what I'm saying right now. There are people that would say to me that I'm unpatriotic. And I'd be willing to bet you that three-quarters of the people that would tell me that did not serve in the military.
Like you did.
I not only served in the military, but, you know, back in the day, you know, you had to register for the draft. And they had this big battle, like the lottery. It was like the lottery, where every birthday was in this big tumbler that was turned. And at one point, and at some appointed time, people from the draft would go in. It was televised, and they would pull out birthdays.
That's scary.
And
that is scary.
If they pulled, it was definitely scary for young brothers in particular, and young men, I should say, in general, where they would pull out a number. January 21st. That would be the first day. That's number one. That means everybody born January 21st was going in the military. They might pick another one that, okay, this is November 18th. That's number two. Whoever was born on that day, November 18th, you were going into the service. And they did that all the way through the year. But most of the time, they only took the first eight numbers or nine numbers, according to how many people they needed, how far they would go up to 365. Because every day was accounted for. Okay? And I remember through the years as a child watching the draft and looking at it being printed in the newspaper. And also, if you applied for a job, one of the questions on your application was your draft status. Honorable discharge, you know, conscientious objector, never served. You had to tell people. And if you did not go into the draft and register for the draft, you didn't get no job in the United States. Nobody was hiring draft dodgers. My number the year
that's probably
that
why
I,
Donald Trump had a business, because he wouldn't.
Well, the bone spurs. You know, you could be, you know, there were different things that disqualified you from going into the service. Like in some cases, like if you were the only male child in your family. If you were in college, it was a time if you were in college, you didn't go in. But then they started taking away these different, when the Vietnam War got hot, they started taking away stuff where they were taking you no matter what. But the year that I was up for draft, my number was like 265. I wasn't going into the service. I was also in college, but at that time, being in college did not stop you from being drafted. By then, they needed as many people as they could get. But my number was 265. I did not have any worries about going into the service. But I went in anyway. And I went in for a number of different reasons, whether they be right or wrong. I went in for a number of different reasons. But I felt, I come from a family of, all the men in my family have been in the military. My mother's side and my father's side. From the American Revolution straight up to current time. So part of my life, you know, like y'all grew up, that it was expected that you would go to college. There was never a question if college was not part of your future. Well, the same thing
with me. I didn't know you could take time off.
My expectations growing up was I would be in the military and I would go to college. And so most of these people out here that are doing all this talk about, you know, about being unpatriotic because you're not supporting America, you didn't have the courage to be there either.
Right.
But you're willing to send other people's children and husbands to war.
Yep.
To put their life on the line for something you don't have the courage to do yourself.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was there. I know what it is to train for war. I know what gunpowder smells like. I know what cannons inside tanks smell like. I was trained in Fort Knox. I know what the cavalry is. I was able to, being part of the area of military I was in, I used every type of advanced weaponry. I went to bed with a rifle between my legs. And with a .45 in my drawer. I know what that's like. And no matter what side we're on, warriors live a hell of a life. And when you've been flipping burgers in McDonald's, and then all of a sudden you find yourself on the front lines of Iraq or Iran, Afghanistan, or wherever it may be in the world, that's a wake-up call right there for all young people. Like they used to say back in the day, give peace a chance.
Recruit in the hood. They recruit in the hood in droves. Like, they stand with tables. They don't do that in Manhattan, but they do that on 149th Street and 3rd Avenue.
Oh, yes, they do. And they also go
into
high
school. In the train station. Yeah.
Yes.
And they got tables
in the
train station. That's crazy.
And in high school. And for so many young African and Hispanic men and women who are graduating from high school with no promise of a job, it is a good deal, you know. The military is a good deal. You know, I had VA benefits. I know what it's like to have VA benefits. Education benefits, you could buy a house, insurance, medical, dental. It's a good deal. But if the deal is you put your life on the line.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I said you got a parent to take care of, something.
Yeah. It's a good deal because you can move them out to you on base and they can live. And, you know, when you go to the BX, which is like the store base exchange, you buy food at a price that is crazy. So it has its advantages, but if the trade-off is to kill people that didn't do you any harm, and your own life is on the line, then there are other things that you have to consider. But that's what's happening right now. The world is at war, and believe it or not, everybody's fighting over their God. This is World War III is a religious war where God is being used as a reason, be you Muslim or Christian or Jew. The three major religions are at war with each other, and all of them are saying that their God has given them permission to do what they're doing.
And it's all the same God anyway, which is the craziest part about all of it.
They're all Abrahamic religion. They all belong to the same religion. And they don't even know the history of it.
That's crazy.
Well, we're in a crazy world right now, and it's your generation that has to solve this issue.
I didn't know that. Okay, so this is totally off topic, but it's something similar to what you said. Muslim people believe Jesus is the Messiah?
No, they believe that he is a prophet.
A prophet, that's what it is. So
yeah,
so,
they believe Jesus is a prophet. Well, one is a god and the other is a prophet. One believes
that he
was God on earth, and the other believes that he was a messenger from God.
Oh. Oh, I understand. I think I was getting the two things mixed up, and I was confused.
Yeah, but basically that's what it is. They don't see him as God. They see him as a messenger of God.
Oh, interesting.
And by the way, Islam came out of Ethiopia.
That makes
and
sense.
If you study like for instance, it's a book called the Lafafa Sadek coming out of Ethiopia. It's the Book of Life.
Mm.
You can see the Ethiopian Book of Life where the Egyptian Book of the Dead came from.
Oh.
And you can see a lot of the relationships between all of the three so-called religions when Indo-Europeans came upon Africans about, give or take, about 2000 to maybe 1000 BC. You can see this faith system coming into existence until the point where you can actually see the Jewish faith, it wasn't called Jewish. It was called Haibri, which is linguistically different because the letter J didn't even exist. So his name couldn't have been Jesus. There was no Judas,
right,
and there was no Jewish faith. The letter J came into existence during the medieval period. The letter J wasn't used. That's why above the Christian cross, and when I ask Christians this question, even bishops I've asked this question, above the crucifix of Jesus Christ, there is an acronym. The acronym means Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. They were mocking Jesus. They were mocking him for being the King of the Jews. Because, you know, he was a Jew.
God.
Jesus was a Jew, according to the story.
He started Christianity.
Well, Christianity started long after him, but even that had already been in an existence long before this story. But the acronym above the crucifix, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, is I-N-R-I. Is not J. You would think Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, the acronym would be J-N-R-J, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But it's I-N-R-I.
Huh.
And the reason why is because they did not have the letter J. It was the letter I, which could be substituted for the letter Y, which is Yahweh. People don't know history. And when you don't know where you came from.
But I don't understand how people don't, like people believe it so deeply, but they see the contradictions and don't think there's anything wrong with that.
If they see the contradictions, because many of them are as ignorant as the occupant of the White House. We're dealing with a mentally disturbed people. And see, this is the other piece we got to get with. That's why we got to get ourselves together, because we have too much faith in a people who are just about losing their mind right now. It's over now.
I think we should take a break there and give people something to think about. And so I'm going to play a song that goes along with what we're saying and ties everything together. So we're going to take a short break and play a song, and we'll be right back.
Let's
You know, Daddy, that song reminded me of you because you said before that nobody can drive you out of the country that your ancestors helped to create. So that song reminded me of things that you've said before. And also the end when the guy says, you know, when the guy's talking about this is not what America is supposed to be, but it's going to be America before, you know, before it's over. That really, like, it made me think of even what you were saying just before about the time is over for the things that are going on now. Like, the way that America is and was is finished. The people that actually built America, and that also seems to be, like, the movie Us. The people that have, like, the people that are ignored are the ones that are going to, like, not take over, but show that the foundation of America is the people that work hard. The foundation of America is considered to be people that are part of the 1%, but the foundation of America is everybody else.
Absolutely. The first shall come last, and the last shall come first.
It's just disturbing what certain people will do because they know that the way that they lived is ending. And it seems like people are doing drastic things because America is not the way that people, the way that certain people remember it to be, if that makes sense.
That's why Make America Great Again was the slogan. It was trying to get people to think about going back to those times. Because if you ask a person of African descent, when was America great for black
Never.
People? When was America great for Native American people? So what actually are you saying? And this is what they tried to hold on to. This is what has been going on the last 3 years. And they're trying to fight something that is inevitable. It is coming. It is amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
But I also say to us, each and every one of us, and I'm crossing cultures at this point, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Conde K, what you going to do? Conde K,
oh,
there?
Did she step away?
She might have.
She
but,
might have.
I mean,
that's
well,
where... occupied over here. I forgot. I
oh,
didn't
okay,
hear a
okay.
question.
No,
you,
you know,
Daddy?
The idea is going into 2020, Conde K, what do you perceive us to do? What do we have to do?
Oh,
with
you
with anything
definitely
you can
live your best life. We definitely have to stop caring what other people say and do and just do what makes us happy. Because if you focus on everybody else, you'll never be happy. You'll never be able to please everybody. So just got to live your best life and just focus on you and, you know, being the best person that you can be. And that's it. And it's easier said than done. We'd be surprised at how hard, you know, these situations actually are. But you just got to, you know, do what you want to do and what makes you happy in order to move to the next.
Oh, I got it.
That's important.
Hello?
That's important, though, because.
Yeah.
That's important though, because in doing when you do things for other people, you're still looking for acceptance, and
yes.
people are looking at
and validation.
Like if
mm-hmm.
you don't, and if you don't even know what you're supposed to do, how is anybody else supposed to know? Like they're looking at you, and you're looking at them for validation, but they're also looking at you for the right thing to do. Like if you're a professional. Or if you're a confident person, they're looking for you to be a good example. But if you're
mm-hmm.
constantly looking for validation, you're both looking, and nobody is doing anything concrete.
Yeah.
But if you don't care what anybody else thinks and do what you think is best, you're helping
mm-hmm.
yourself and you're helping people that are looking at you as an example.
Yeah.
So that's
no,
really
it's,
important.
It's true.
For you to do it to do
well,
it that way,
having,
because you're literally like on a seesaw if you're doing it any
yeah.
other way.
But having confidence is the most important and just realizing that you know yourself best. There's nothing that anybody can tell you that you don't already know about yourself. So it's like when you focus on just, you know, doing you, it's like in a race. If you look around at what everybody else is doing, you're not doing the best that you can do, and you ultimately will end up losing the race because you're trying to look, and that slows you down.
So, yeah.
In our life, we just focus on us and live our best lives and do it unapologetically, because those that judge, that means they're paying attention to what you're doing and not paying attention to what they're doing. So their eyes off the prize. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. So why are you going to listen to somebody who don't even have it together?
They're very convincing. And that's the biggest hurdle, I think, is that they're convincing. But you'll see it right in front of your face.
No, but
it's
not about being convincing. It's not them being convincing. It's that you are convinced by it. Because
a person could tell
you the sky is yellow or the sky is brown, and
you
it's
have to
really
it.
Blue. And you have to believe it. And you know, everything comes from the mind. Everything that we experience in our bodies, everything that we go through, it starts in the mind. It starts in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And once we realize that we have to stop creating these things, we're creating these destinations, like our destiny. We're creating it.
But even when you're hungry, like when I could be like not hungry at all, and the moment I start thinking about lunch, then all of a sudden my stomach is hungry because of what my brain was thinking.
Yeah,
and it's the craziest thing to experience.
Exactly,
like,
exactly. You'd be surprised. Like there's people that become pregnant, and their stomach gets enlarged because in their mind they believe that they were pregnant.
Yeah. And
you're
physically affected by what's going on in your brain. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, and for me, I can speak on experience of, you know, a lot of times if I'm having a bad day, I convince myself that I'm having a good day and my day becomes amazing. So it's you have to get out of that mentality of this is a bad day. We're going to have a bad day for the rest of the day. And, you know, this is the end all be all. You have to turn it around. Look at what it could be. Every negative is not a negative. It may be a positive.
Mhm.
So 2020, I've been able to do a lot in my years, and even more of, you know, the possible negativity that may come. And just turn everything negative into positive and continue working on me, because it's never ending and never stops. It's a constant situation that, you know, in order to maintain and become happy and be who we need to be, it's a constant, you know, struggle. It's a constant battle.
So that's the only New Year's resolution that I have is to be as good as I can internally, because everything that you do externally and everything that's done to you externally and everything that's done around you externally comes from inside. And you can completely block any negativity that comes your way if you're good inside. So that's the only thing. I don't want to get a gym membership. I don't want to change the way I'm eating. Everything that needs to be done, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, you have to do it in your head first, and then nothing that you say is going to matter if you're not good inside of your head. You can say you're going to have a million resolutions. If you don't feel good in your mind, none of those resolutions make a difference.
Absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, whether we believe it or not, a lot of what we experience and why we do what we do is because of society. These New Year's resolutions, you have to come up with a New Year's resolution, and guess what? By mid-February, that New Year's resolution has long gone.
Right. Everybody's in the gym the whole month of January. Last week of January, nobody's in the gym. Everybody has gym memberships that they must follow for at least a year or they get charged a fee, but nobody's going anymore. Like, that $11 is still coming out of my account, and I'm not going to the gym. I mean, I have other reasons. But for the most part, most people, when they do a gym membership, the gyms are full in January. And then end of January, beginning of February, nobody's in the gym except for the people that have been doing it forever anyway. So you
that
have to be in your mind. You already have to be who you want to be or who you're supposed to be already in your mind before you even think about trying to do something else. So that's my only goal for this year. I'm not trying to do anything else except for being completely right in my mind.
Exactly. And that is a struggle in itself, you know, for most people and
that's
everybody. It's hard to be yourself unapologetically because we are conditioned to worry about what other people are doing.
Yeah.
And we
and
are conditioned to
people
please. Yeah. To ask and to worry about what others are thinking. And that's the one thing that we have to realize we got to get out of that habit of doing.
Yep.
Because those that succeed don't care what anybody else has to say. It's not a matter of, oh, you think this person will like it. Because what if they don't like it? Then you got to try a whole nother thing. Then you got to do a whole nother. No, you just got to live your life for you. And others will see your confidence and they'll love it. There's certain things that you're like, oh, no, I don't know how you're going to pull that off and wear it. And guess what? If you have the confidence to wear it, you're going to pull it off. You're going to be in it. People are going to look after you. That's how everything starts. Nothing
and then if they don't like it.
And if they don't like it, then move on. But a lot of times they do like it. People like, it's not, what attracts people to people is not what they're wearing. It's how they're wearing it.
Yeah, because you can put the same thing on, like figuratively or literally, you can put the same thing on and it's not going to look the same. That's funny, like the memes that they have on Facebook, and it says, like, Instagram and Facebook, and the memes that'll say, like, what I bought or what it looked like on the model and what it looked like on me, and two completely different things. Like, one will be like, you know, the one on the right that says what it looked like on me, quote unquote, will look crazy, but the one that looks on the left, the one that looks like on the model, quote unquote, it'll look perfect. But none of it matters. Like, it literally, and that's the hardest thing, and I think that is, it'll feel like withdrawal. When you go from caring what people think to not caring what people think, that space in between when you're really working on being better is going to feel like withdrawal. It's probably not going to feel as severe as, like, people that have gone through drug withdrawal, but mentally it might feel just as bad, because you're literally conditioned every day of your life.
Yeah, but you'll be surprised how empowering it feels. You'll be surprised how, you know, when you second guess and when you second think, there's a lot of things that people do and buy, like name brand stuff, just to keep up with, you know, what's the latest and greatest. You know how much money you'll save if you're not doing things because of the money, you're doing it because you like the thing or you don't like the thing. Like, you know how much stuff you know how much money you'll save just in general after, you know, trying to stop impressing everybody and feeling like, oh, I have to get this. I got to get a new outfit. I got to do, you know, it makes you creative to start, you know, your own vibe, and it makes it different. Why does everybody want to be the same? You want to be so different that you're the same, and you want to be the same, and everything looks exactly the same. Even the hobo look. Now you just blended in with the homeless people.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So it's like, come on. Like, you know, everybody, why would you want to be compared to somebody else? Why would you want somebody to say, oh, you look just like so-and-so? You want to be your own. There's only one of you, unless you're a twin. But generally,
and there's still only one of you, soul-wise.
Yeah, that's true. Because you look slightly different. So, and you're made, and everything is different. So it's like, just focus on being the best person that you can be. And it sounds simple, but it's extremely complex until you're able and you grasp the concept of, I don't care. Like Daddy says all the time, I don't care. I don't give a damn.
And all that matters is that you feel complete inside. Feeling complete inside is the goal.
Exactly. And honestly, like, even with the concepts of Ma'at, and, you know, I tell people all the time when I counsel them, and they're like, you know, well, this person, you know, they took offense to it, but I didn't mean to offend them. And I said, honestly, what everything boiled down to is your intention. You know in your mind your intention was not to hurt the person, or, you know, for them to be offended or take it a certain way. You know, your intention was to do no harm. So whether they accept your, you know, explanation for what you meant by it, or, you know, whether you're able to further delve into what you meant by it, you know, you have to realize that you can't feel sad, or you can't take it personal when people don't necessarily understand where you're coming from, and, you know, will look at you a certain way and feel a certain way and respond to you a certain way. You have to realize that your intentions were good, and, you know, that's how you're able to have a peace of mind, and to, you know, be able to move forward without feeling guilty and working yourself up, becoming upset. And we spend so much of our time and our stress levels and everything that we experience, we spend so much time worrying that we're not spending time just enjoying the little things in life.
Mm-hmm.
If we stop the fussing and fighting and, you know, worrying and, you know, a lot of what we experience, we then do to others, you know, if we stop and we just do good and do the best that we can do, that's the only thing that you can do. Because as somebody once told me, anything past your best is stress, and stress kills.
There we go. I like that. I'm going to take that.
That is like my motto. Like,
we know where you got it from.
But that is like, that makes complete sense. As soon as Daddy, as soon as you said that, I was like, this makes complete sense, because you can't do anything past what you can do. And if somebody has something to say about it, then they don't need to be in your life, and they don't need to receive what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we gotta, a lot of times the perception and how people feel and, you know, what can we do to make them feel better? It's not about that. It's about you doing what you can do, and if they don't like it, then they could be in your life for a season or a reason, and they don't got to be in it for the whole time. Because ain't nobody got time to be
sure. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
And that is the perfect way to end the evening. This is a great way to start off the new year. I am
interested
to find out what we are going to talk about next year. This has been a great show. It started off as a not so great topic, but we did have to put it on the table and discuss it. But it did end up very positive and very motivating, and I really appreciate all the points of view. Like, we all have similar views, and we were raised so similar, but it still has your own flavor, which is great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's
and
just
that's
important.
What we were always, I was going to say, that's what we were always allowed to do, is create our own perspective of things. Like, Daddy, you always say, and you say it to us, and you say it to your students, don't take what I'm saying. Research it. Do, you know, come to your own conclusion. And that's what you allowed us to do, you know, growing up. That's why we are the way that we are. And, you know, we may not necessarily see everything the way each other sees it, but we're able to respect each other's opinions and, you know, eventually be able to see it from each other's eyes.
Absolutely. And you know, these are so very important, and I see these so valuable for not just the audience, but even for us as a family to be able to have these conversations. And
yeah.
for those with families, you know, for mm-hmm. you to be where you are in your life, for me to be where I am in my life, and yet we take time out of our schedule just to have this type of conversation. It demonstrates what I think we need to be telling our community in terms of the work that we have to do. And to respect
Absolutely.
The younger generation's work and to understand that, you know, like you were saying earlier, if you have a problem with some of the things that I am doing and if you think you can do it better, then, yeah, you do it better. Let me be an example. If you think that something that I've written, something that I've said in one of my DVDs, one of my presentations, isn't quite accurate, then how would you say it? You do it. So instead of coming down on somebody else about what they didn't say, take the opportunity to say it your way.
Mm-hmm. And people will be surprised. People will be surprised at what they end up, because, you know, like you, I mean, we're just doing a whole bunch of Cobb-isms today. You know, you never let us come to you with a problem without having at least one or two solutions to it. So if
That's
somebody
right.
got an issue, if somebody feels a certain way, you do your research, meet me outside, and we could talk, I mean, not fight, but we could talk about it. And you'd be surprised at what they end up having the respect for you. Because people love to fight, but then when you're willing to accept, you know, their challenge, and they come and they realize that it's not what they thought it was, because when they work through it, it was actually, you were actually correct, but they just found a different way of going about it. And that's what starts conversations. Conversations, there's no need to argue or fuss or fight. Have conversations, and conversations don't necessarily, the parties don't have to agree, but as long as you respect one another and come correct in your response and the way in which you speak to people, that's what matters the most.
So speaking of conversation, it looks like we actually have a caller. So I see, okay, so your number ends in 6439. Did you have a question or are you just listening?
Sorry,
or a comment, or are you just listening? Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Okay,
I kept getting cut off.
Oh, no worries. We just appreciate, however you get here, we appreciate you. Happy New Year, and thank you.
Same to you. Thank you.
Okay. I love to hear other people's voice on our show. It's very nice. Even if it's just to say I was just listening. I love hearing other people's voice. So that's great. I really do think it's really important to just be the best you can be. And that's all we can work on doing. And
That's all you can be. That's all you can do.
It's impossible to be anybody else. Right.
And that's all anybody can hold you accountable for. And I look forward to 2020. And I wish on everybody, every human, the very best in the future. And I pray that things will intercede that will allow us to succeed at all the wonderful things that our Creator has planned. Because it ain't over till we win.
There we go.
That was so eloquently
good to me.
Put. Yeah, that is
that
amazing.
That sounds good to me, and I'm looking forward to more of these conversations. I'm looking forward to see what 2020 has to offer, and I'm looking forward to see the new music that we can play for everybody, because I love playing new music or music that nobody's heard before, or the side B songs of CDs and cassettes that no longer exist. Now they're You just listen to Tidal or Spotify. We used to have side B songs, but So I look forward to great songs and great conversations that we can share in 2020. So it's been a great conversation. I hope everybody has a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Listen a couple more minutes for this song that I'm about to play. It's by my favorite person that sings in the whole world, and I think you know who it is. And let's see if you can tell by the voice. Everybody, hold up and have a great evening, and see you next time. Or hear you, rather, or you hear us.
Hotep family.
Good night. Hotep.
Is of sin. We've got it twisted in this lucid dream. Baptized in boundaries, schooled in sin, divided by difference, sexuality and skin. Oh, so we can hate each other and fear each other. We can build these walls between each other, baby, blow by blow and brick by brick. Keep yourself locked in, yourself locked in. Yeah, we can hate each other and fear each other. We can build these walls between each other, baby, blow by blow and brick by brick. Keep yourself locked in, yourself locked. Oh,
before they scar.